from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Here to talk about the Orioles post-trade deadline, starting to see the bats percolate a little bit, maybe still some closure problems from the Baltimore Sun. Let's welcome to the show Jacob Calvin Meyer. Jacob, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Hey, fellas. Appreciate you letting me on.
All right, now the bats. Let's start with the good there. Starting to percolate a little bit. Gunner's exit velo is pretty intense. Eloy Jimenez, who I was ragging on last week. Jacob Calvin Meyer, full disclosure. I was like, what the hell are we paying this guy for? Kobe Mayo. Okay. Anyway, I don't want to get into the particulars of my criticisms of him. But, you know, he shut me up the last 2 days for sure. Jackson Holiday looks like the number one prospect. Moo Man, Adley's showing a pulse. Tony Tater's been hot for 2 months, so are we starting to see the offense that for many, many months led the league in runs scored and has been leading the majors in home runs, and is there even more of an upside to it, minus guys like Jordan Westbrook?
Honestly, I think the answer is yes. What we saw the past 2 days is probably the most encouraging offensive performances since, if you remember that last game in New York in June and then the first one in Houston where they scored, I think, 10-plus runs in back-to-back games. It was tough there for about 6-7 weeks where the offense was extremely inconsistent. They were not hitting with runners in scoring position. You mentioned Adley Rutschman. He was slumping. Gunnar Henderson hadn't hit a home run in the second half until Sunday, and it was starting to become sort of a concern. But the past 2 days alleviated some of those. And frankly, when you just look at the lineups from top to bottom, especially the lineups against right-handed pitchers, it's a really strong lineup. And it's even more so when you consider that some of those lineups against right-handed pitchers, Ryan Mountcastle can be on the bench, Heston Kerstad's in AAA, and Jordan Westberg is on the injured list. And so, listen, hitting in today's Major League Baseball, it's almost impossible to be consistent because of how good pitching is. But if the Orioles can at least have some of the quality of the at-bats that they had this weekend in Cleveland, I think the answer is yes, that you're going to see them over the final 2 months be maybe the best offensive team in baseball like they were over the first 2 months.
Now, Jacob, I don't know if there's an answer to this question I'm about to ask you outside of the results, but what's different about Holiday now than when we saw him back in April?
Everything. Absolutely everything. It's completely night and day. It's surprising only because he went from being, frankly, so bad in April when he was up to now being so good. That's what's sort of surprising. But frankly, it's been a weird 6 months for Jackson Holiday. Going into spring training, he was as hyped as any prospect in modern, like in this century has been. Like he was more hyped than Gunnar Henderson was and Adley Rutschman was, and those were two number one prospects. You had people who were ranking him on the prospect list talking about that the last time that they've seen prospects do something like what Jackson Holiday did in 2023, where he went from low A to AAA at age 19 with Alex Rodriguez. Like, that was the tier of player that he was in. And those expectations were probably a little bit too high. And then when he struggled and then he went back down to AAA, then it went too far in the other direction. He starts falling out of the top prospect spot on these lists. People are talking about trading him, which was just frankly absurd the entire time. Even if it was for a guy like Tarik Skubal, who's great, they were never going to trade Jackson Holliday. And now he's coming back up and he's starting to prove that the hype was real. His hard hit percentage is through the roof. I think it's 85% of his batted balls over the past five games have been hit harder than 95 miles per hour. His first time up, he was swinging and missing half of the time, which was shocking considering his bat to ball skills is probably his best tool. And now his whiff rate is down like 20 percentage points. And so it is not hyperbolic to say, listen, he's 20 years old. He's going to have ups and downs. There's no way to know whether this is completely real or not, but considering how good he was as a prospect, how well he's looked the past five games, it is not hyperbolic to say that Jackson Holliday can be one of this team's three best players the remainder of the season. And if that's the case, that's the big bump at the trade deadline that I think everybody was hoping for.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the Orioles in Major League Baseball for the Baltimore Sun. Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan. Orioles are off today. First place tied with the Yankees in the American League's Eastern Division. Well, hell, let's keep the positivity rolling, Jacob. How about old Zach Eflin, two starts into his Orioles career? The old national TV fun against the Guardians, who had, what, the best record in the American League, the best home record in baseball. I guess Zach Eflin, has lived up to the expectations so far for the Birds, two starts in.
I mean, he's just been exactly what you thought you would get. I mean, I think it's going to end up being one of the best trades at the deadline. When you consider everything, when you consider how Eflin's going to pitch down the stretch for them, when you consider that the Orioles didn't have to give up any of their top 12 prospects to get him, and considering that they're going to have him next season, Zach Eflin always made a lot of sense for them, considering he has shown that he has a ceiling as a guy that competed for the AL Cy Young Award last year. But I think what attracted them most was his floor. I mean, his floor is the second best in this rotation by far. I mean, you have Corbin Burns' floor, which we saw yesterday. His floor is to go five innings and give up four earned runs. I mean, that's about as bad as he's going to look all season. And Zach Eflin has thrown at least five innings in every single start except for one this season. He just goes out and gives quality starts on a every 5 days, and he's done that through two so far. And it's going to be a big boost to this rotation, mostly because you know you can rely on him to just go out and give you six solid innings and throw strikes.
Now, Jacob, what's your opinion thus far of Coby Mayo? I mean, it's been tough for him hitting, you know, since he's gotten up.
Yeah, I think it's too early to like form opinions. The first game, he looked great at the plate. You know, he walked a couple of times. I think he took three counts full. And so he looked like he was seeing the ball well. He wasn't chasing. That was encouraging. I think defensively, you know, you had the one pop-up, which was strange. And I don't really know how much you can really put that on him in any sort of way individually. And so defensively, he's been fine. He hasn't made any errors. I know that's been a big question mark for him. But the past couple of games, he's been swinging and missing a lot. He's been out in front of things. I think pitchers are going to be throwing him breaking balls and changeups until he can prove that he can hit them. And that might take some adjustment. Listen, the stuff he's seen the past three games from one of the best pitching staffs in baseball, he has never seen in his life, right? I mean, AAA pitching is just nowhere near this. And so, in all likelihood, he's going to follow the same path that Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Colton Cowser, Jackson Holliday followed, which is he's going to struggle at first, and then at some point he'll figure it out. The question is, can he be more like Adley and Gunnar, where they struggled a little bit and then figured it out without having to go back down? Or is it going to be more like Colton Cowser or Jackson Holliday, where maybe he needs another stint in AAA to you know, because it can be valuable to get this feedback, okay, really not hit well against these guys, to go back down to AAA, make the changes you need to make down there, and then come back up. I think that remains to be seen. But again, it's just been three games. In all likelihood, the kid's going to be fine.
Now, Jacob, is Hyder doing the same thing with Kimbrel that he did before to get him going again?
Yeah, I actually think this has been like really kind of under the radar in how well Brandon Hyde has managed Kimbrel this season. I know fans love to nitpick their manager's bullpen decisions. I mean, it's like a national pastime. And so, and there's been, you know, there's been questionable decisions in other parts of this bullpen and the way he's handled it. Sir Anthony Dominguez coming in to face a couple of lefties the other day was a confusing one. But with Kimbrel, I think the best way to do this at this stage in his career is when he looks off, you just have to get him out of the ninth, and you just have to throw him in low leverage until he figures it back out. And then when he does, you just run him, you know, and then he'll hit another snag, and then you have to do the same thing. I think the concerning thing is once he gets out of this, which it looks like he might have, by the way, his last outing was a good one. Is how long is his next good stretch going to be? And is it going to carry through October? I think that's a little bit of a concern here, but no, I think to limit the damage of the bad Craig Kimbrel games, I think the Orioles have done about as good as you can possibly do in that department.
Jacob Calvin Meyer covers the Orioles and Major League Baseball for the Baltimore Sun. Jacob, always appreciate your time. And where's everyone complaining about Corey Blazer, like we were watching the game on TV in that press box or what? And he's like, dude, have you ever seen a ball or strike before? That little white thing there, the ball has to go. Anyway, Jacob Calvin Meyer, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the trip, and we'll see you down at Oriole Park in Camden Yards next week.
Thanks, fellas. Always a pleasure.
You got it. Jacob Calvin Meyer, everybody. We'll come back. Got the whip around what happened in the world of sports over the weekend. A lot. Got your Olympic report coming up bottom of the hour. And Kyle Phoenix from the Baltimore Beatdown talking about the Ravens a couple weeks into training camp. Preseason opener is happening on Friday against Philadelphia. The biggest questions are still pass rush and offensive line. Is there something else?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
To get into
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
1057 The Fan.
Time for the whip around here on this Monday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We'll hear from him in a few minutes when we get to the Funhouse. Olympic Games continue on week two. We'll have your Olympic update bottom of the hour. But yesterday, for the first time, I couldn't believe it. I saw this in 20 years. The United States man did this.
There's an Olympic gold medal waiting for somebody. Who wants it the most? Now Thompson starts to line up. Curley's going with him. This is close. Jamaica's going to do it. Kishane Thompson is a gold medalist.
They're working on the photo. Fred Curley pushed him all the way. Noah Lyles is looking anxiously. It's Noah Lyles. And it had to go to a photo finish to decide it.
Joe got the call wrong there.
Yeah.
The winner for best picture is, you know what I mean? The guy from NBC, Dippy, he kind of whiffed on the call there. But the most important thing is they got it right. Noah Lyles, United States, wins by what, a half a second or 0.05 of a second. Photo finish, picks up the gold in the 100 meters, which used to be kind of a U.S. thing.
No doubt. Unless
guys like Ben Johnson were all roided up or whatever, and then Usain Bolt dominated for a long, long time. But finally got it done for the United States of America. Can this guy, Noah Lyles, duplicate in the 200 meter?
I talked to you off air, Bob. I thought that, you know, because his start is not good, and he's kind of a build-up kind of guy, I think he'd be better in the 200 than he has been in the 100. You know, I mean, he won the 100, but it looks like he gets better as the race goes on.
Now, in men's swimming, China stunned the United States in the 4x100 medley. U.S. has won the gold in every Olympics except for 1980 when they boycotted in Moscow. Now, there were a couple of Chinese swimmers who had been banned before for substances. Apparently, the Olympic Committee there in China said it was because of tainted meat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tainted meat. But anyway, 4x100 medley goes to the country of China. U.S. gets the silver. Women's basketball, it was United States 87-68 over Germany. Medby, Puerto Rico on Saturday, 104-83. They play Brazil. Tomorrow, it's the Whip Around Video at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. White Sox lose to the Twins, 13-7. They've now lost 20 consecutive games, so that's got to be a dreadful trip to the ballpark every night.
That's got to be miserable. Just because you walk in, I mean, Bob, those guys, whatever they do in the offseason, you know, like in football, you always say, you know, like the last month when you're out of it, you get the golf clubs ready, and you're not working out as much, you're not putting in the extra time. That's probably really started in South Side of Chicago.
In boxing on Saturday night, Terrence Crawford, unanimous decision over Israel Madridoff. He wins the junior middleweight championship, but it was a much tougher fight than a lot of people anticipated. But Ray and Kai both called that it would be a difficult issue. Kai, you called this too. Jose Valenzuela, split decision over Pitbull Cruz, takes his junior lightweight championship, probably kills his rematch with Tank Davis later in the season. And Kai called this one too. Martin McCauley knocks out Jared Anderson in the fifth round, previously undefeated, new U.S. rising up the ranks kind of guy. Not only got knocked out, he got KTFO'd. And if you don't know what that means, figure it out. But go look at the highlights on YouTube. A couple of those uppercuts were very Foreman-esque, if you know what we're talking about. That Andy Ruiz draw, Gerald Miller, 12 rounds. Miller got robbed in that one this day in Orioles history. How about 1974, sweeping a doubleheader in Detroit over the Tigers. Game one, 7-4 Birds. Bobby Gritsch, four ribbies, including a home run. Wayne Garland gets the win. Our buddy Ross Grimsley got the save. Nightcap, 6-3 Orioles again. Paul Blair, 2-for-4 with a homer, two ribbies. Earl Williams drove in two. Doyle Alexander got the W there. 1983, Memorial Stadium. Birds score three in the bottom of the ninth to stun the White Sox. 5-4, Rich Dower, game-winning base hit. Mike Boddicker went complete game to get the win there. Preview of the ALCS, by the way, 2012, down in Tampa. Taylor Teagarden, Nolan, got the game-winning hit as he scored Mark Reynolds. And Luis Ayala got the win. And Jim Johnson picked up his 32nd save. Orioles 1-0 over the Rays. And then 10 years ago today, up at Rogers Center. Caleb Joseph, Jonathan Scope, Chris Davis all go deep as the Orioles beat the Blue Jays on their way to the AL East Championship 9-3. We'll come back. Olympic update. Stay tuned for that. Then Kyle Phoenix, Baltimore beatdown. Talk Ravens with him. 4 days away from the preseason opener against Philly. You want to comment on the Ravens? You're more than welcome to get in at 410-583-1057. And then a funhouse trip with Mr. Electricity, Nolan McGraw. Ravens back at practice today at 1:20 as training camp heads into its third week. Fun here to talk about that. Bob Andy, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass from Baltimore Beatdown. Let's welcome back to the show Kyle Phoenix. Kyle, good morning. What's going on?
Morning, gentlemen. Just getting out to the castle.
All right, as you get there to see a little practice time on a Monday, 2 weeks plus, Kyle, into training camp. Give me one player that you've seen that had an opportunity to maybe earn some things who might be letting the opportunity slip away at this time.
Ooh, that's an incredibly – thanks for the fastball to start.
Right.
I think –
inside corner.
I think a guy like – yeah, no kidding. I think Charlie Kolaire is somebody that is kind of like a victim of circumstance. You know, he plays well. He's done all right in camp. But the problem is, you have Mark Andrews as a top three tight end as the number one tight end. The second one is going to be Isaiah Likely, who's just, you know, a top 20 guy, would start on numerous other teams. And so where he needs to be able to make his bread and butter is through blocking. But problematically, they have Patrick Ricard that they can even put as an inline blocker for that. And so he's talented in all three, you know, in those regards, but he's just unfortunately a victim of circumstance more than anything. He's done all right in camp. He hasn't done anything, you know, incredibly noteworthy, but he hasn't had poor reps. I mean, I've seen him make a ceiling block on a Derrick Henry play that looked like it was a house call. I've seen him make some receptions. It's just more a victim of circumstance, really.
Now, Kyle, a guy who kind of jumped out at me at times, you know, has been Rasheen Ali. And then when he fumbled, and then it didn't seem like he's getting as many reps lately.
Yeah, I didn't count his reps prior or like after on that. I think he's done fine. You know, he was somebody that I've kind of commented on is just, he's been kind of a steady player. You know, it's tough to get reps when you're contending for the number three role with Derrick Henry and Justice Hill being so far above you, but even those reps are split between him and Owen Wright. And at times I've felt that Owen Wright has really showed, you know, a value as their current number three guy. He's had numerous explosive plays. He's found the edge. He's found the hole up, you know, when he's running between the tackles. He's gotten to the edge when he's running outside the tackles. He's had a couple good receptions. He's a guy that I'm seeing as a possibility of being that number three guy, really.
Now, Kyle, what about I thought Bateman, that's the best practice, the best game, best anything that I've seen him this past Saturday.
Yeah, his Saturday practice was awesome. You know, the first catch, you know, first play of their simulated scrimmage drills was to Bateman. It was a low catch that he had to make because the ball was a little bit underthrown, and he snagged it off the turf and got a first down on it. He got a couple other passes. You know, he had one that he ran through the route. You know, it's tough as a wide receiver sometimes to dare yourself to continue sprinting forward through the middle of the field when you got guys like Hamilton and Roquan roaming through there. And I know that it's not full contact, but that's still hard to not keep your head on a swivel and run through your assignment and take care of it. And he was able to get a big 15-yard catch on that one. And then later on down the road, he caught something that looked like a 30-yarder. He made a guy miss. He cut back so hard that one defender ran into the other one instead. I thought that was really impressive, and he definitely had his best practice I've seen out here on Saturday.
Now, Kyle, the other thing is always been looking good. You know, I mean, but a lot of time, Ronnie Stanley is kind of, you know, if he can be a top 20 tackle, I think they'll be happy with that. But he's given him some troubles. And on the other side, you know, he's given Rosengarten some problems too. And I like his spin move and stuff. But he's having a good camp thus far.
Oh, no doubt about it. Always a guy that's really primed to break out. You know, he has better snaps because they're going to be without Jadeveon Clowney. I was writing about him this morning on Late for Work that, you know, he won the same amount he generated about the same amount of pressures last season as he did the year prior, which meant that he did it on 100 fewer pass rush snaps. So he's a guy that's been making plays, and he's been doing it in camp. You know, it doesn't matter which of the tackles are lined up against him, you know, between those competing at right tackle and Ronnie Stanley at left. I mean, there's plays being made by Owe. He's generating pressure. He's getting to ball carriers, the line of scrimmage. He's looking very sharp right now.
Kyle, I don't know what you think, but the more I watch, I think, you know, just put Rosengarten at right tackle and let him get as many reps as possible because, you know, unless you're going to throw Makari in there for a game or two until you feel Rosengarten's ready, I think just give him all the reps and give him help in, you know, in the games and those types of things because he's definitely going to need it early on.
Are you saying you should give him the reps for week one?
I'm saying in practice right now, give him every rep possible. Okay. Give him reps in the preseason games. And then if he shows like he's close to being ready, then play him in a Kansas City game. Otherwise, I can see McCary being the right tackle in Kansas City.
Yeah, I get that view, but the Ravens have really started to preach about they want the best five guys out there. They want the best five-man combination. And right now, it's a competition between Rosengarten and McCary. And McCary's proven to be a viable starter at numerous positions, though the Ravens value him also at that six-man super sub. So it's really tough when you have, you know, maybe more value there. I think Rosengarten has looked better over the course of the 2 weeks. You know, he looks like he's starting to settle in. He's starting to understand things. And, you know, it's that drinking from the fire hose kind of situation when you're going up against the likes of Van Noy, Owe, Ajabo, Robinson. They all have their specialties in size, speed, or attributes. So I think there's a chance of him doing that, but I don't know if I just outright give him all of the reps just because they want to see if McCary can hold up, I think. You know, if he can endure a full training camp and he's not dealing with any, you know, lingering issues or anything like that, I think there's a value to having him as their right tackle because they want the best five guys.
He's Kyle Phoenix joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Baltimore beatdown. Check him out there. Travis Jones entering his third year. How encouraging has camp been for him and the likelihood that he has an air quotes semi-breakout season or what for you right now?
Yeah, there's a lot of hype coming from the Ravens as far as Travis Jones. I mean, John Harbaugh called him a superhuman. Every player along that defensive line is talking about how Travis Jones is looking incredible and how he's primed for this breakout season. I think he's had a good camp. You know, he's given Linderbaum and Voorhees and those rotating in at other competitive spots along the interior. He's given them fits. You know, he's won his reps. He's won them in the one-on-ones, though those are really hard to see because they always do them on the far field. You know, in the pass rush drills, and he's won a lot in 11s. He's helping to generate interior pressure and kind of cause havoc. He's moving quick. He's got some good hands. He's strong. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here for him. The Ravens need one of these, you know, their D-line to step up because there's only so many years you can get out of Michael Pierce and Brent Urban, and they've been formidable and they've been consistent with them, you know, but you're going to have to be able to hand off some more reps to more young guys as Matt Abike took that, you know, the mantle up last year. Now you need a second guy to kind of step up. And Travis Jones is the guy to look to.
Kyle, tell everybody what's happening at Baltimore Beatdown on this Monday.
Yeah, I mean, I've been out here every single day, folks, covering the latest observations of training camp, talking with coaches, players, and getting to know everything that you want to know and being able to put it down on Baltimore Beatdown for you all to read and enjoy. So make sure to check us out over there.
All right, have fun out at the castle. Kyle, we'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Kyle.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.
There is Kyle Phoenix, everybody. We'll come back, reset the program for you, take a trip through the funhouse. Nolan McGraw, news for the Nets coming up top of the hour. Going to hear from John Harbaugh. Met with the media a couple of days ago. Ravens back at it today at 1:20. Buy or sell, 12:15. Eric Edholm, NFL.com. Preseason has already started. Two games on Thursday. Ravens kick off against Philly at M&T Bank Stadium. So we're creeping closer to the opener. And what's Kyle feeling about the strength of the AFC? Olympics week two happening there. So a lot going on in the world of sports before we get to Nolan McGraw, who's always got something happening in his zany life. Let's get out to the phone, squeeze one in. Bob Eddie Vincerato, Nolan, go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
What's happening, Captain?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. The welcome back theme song when Vinny came back, but I said, I wasted that. I should have did that when he came back from his procedure.
Yeah.
Hey, but hey, Bob, I want to congratulate. What? Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I want to congratulate you because I wish everybody would do what you've done. What you say last week? You say, why did you get this guy? What's this guy? What's this guy?
Yeah.
But now you're like, oh man, he's been.
I think I even quoted the great Fred G. Sanford. So you big dummy, like when they made the trade and they took in his salary too. And now, hey, look, if I'm reverse schleprocking in a good way, I'll take it. I'll take that heat, no doubt.
Bob, believe me, I've heard worse from people we both know. But anyway,
yeah. This
is what me and some other guys have been saying. You're playing on a last place team. You have no desire to even get out of bed that morning. You know where you're going. You're going to the pits of maybe not hell, but you know what I'm saying. Then all of a sudden you get the phone call, hey, you going to the Orioles. Man, don't you know you probably jumped for joy. You ain't even know how to act. You probably danced the jig.
You gained 30 games in the standings just like that.
Right, right. Don't you know when this guy came here, all he wanted to show is, I still got it. Y'all know what I've done. You know my track record. All I got to do is perform, and I'll get to play. That's why I didn't have no expectation, and I didn't beat him down where others did. But then I'm going to leave that alone because I heard something else that made me want to do a poll. What running back in the Ravens' history in a season did they lean on most? I'm going with Jamal Lewis. I don't care how many other running backs it is because they dang gone sure wasn't throwing it, right? So he was the one. He was their horse. He was their Henry back in the day. But if y'all think about anybody else was, let me know, and I'll let y'all go. Have a safe and blessed day.
All right, Joe, you do the same. Jamal rushed for 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
In an offense that really wasn't throwing the ball much, and the only weapon they really had was Todd Heap. And you kind of knew he was getting the ball because that was Bowler's rookie year. Then he got hurt. Anthony Wright took over. They wound up making the playoffs that year, lost to Tennessee at M&T Bank Stadium. But, hey, Ray Rice was called on to do a lot of versatile things.
No doubt. He caught a lot of balls.
But, I'm guessing, to Joe's point, what running back did they rely on the most? It had to be Jamal Lewis because that was a one-dimensional offense, and he was that one dimension. Let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feeling on this Monday?
Feeling good. I want to apologize to Eloy Jimenez. I had a bit of a tirade last week. He was traded for, and then they sent Heston Kerstad down to the minors to make room for Jimenez on the major league roster. But it did kind of remind me of last year when the Orioles brought in Aaron Hicks as a waiver claim, if you remember. And some people were a little hopeful when Jimenez arrived here that he could serve a similar role. And we all kind of rolled our eyes at that the guy that can't even play defense was going to be what Aaron Hicks was last year. Well, I will gladly be wrong. Last year, I remember saying when Aaron Hicks arrived that I would rather have Ryan McKenna play every single day over Hicks.
Yes, you did.
I was embarrassingly wrong, and I would like to be embarrassingly wrong yet again.
Yeah, let's not put Jimenez in the Oriole Hall of Fame just yet.
Yeah.
It's only been a couple of games. But, yes, bringing more to the equation and going the opposite way, which is huge, because the power has always been there. He just can't stay on the field. And he was going up against a righty yesterday. It wasn't a lefty-righty matchup because Hyde implied that he would play mainly against lefties. He was in there against a guy throwing 98, 99 miles an hour yesterday for the Guardians.
And Hyde even said, I believe it was last Thursday or Friday, threw something out there in a pregame press conference that Jimenez wasn't 100% healthy or was dealing with something nagging. And that drew my frustration and when I popped off is that, hey, this guy's not even healthy and you traded for him and you're going to prioritize him over one of your bright young stars in Kerstad. But I'm assuming he's 100% because, like you said, back-to-back appearances there and back-to-back multi-hit days.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you actually went off a little bit more than I did because you were all bent that Kerstad got sent back.
Right. Yeah.
And I was just like, this guy's done. He sucks. I mean, and he's getting paid handsomely. You picked up his salary on top of it. I thought it was a boneheaded move.
And more got revealed with the salary, too. Apparently, the White Sox are taking on or eating most of that. The Orioles are only on the hook for a very small portion.
You mean the White Sox, who were 41 and a half games out of first and have lost 20 straight games? Let them do White Sox-level things and let Eloy Jimenez help us. We're coming up on the top. We probably don't have time to give you a full funhouse, so we'll save it to next hour. But, Nolan, what were you doing this weekend? You're always up to something exciting there.
Watching Flaherty?
No. He is on my fantasy team, so I like to check in.
Oh, he did. He did pitch very well. Yeah.
A lot of Olympics. SummerSlam was this weekend. WWE as well. Local tie-in for that because I talked to you about this off-air, Bob, last week. Former Raven, undrafted free agent Bronson Rechsteiner. He won the Intercontinental Championship.
He did.
So, congrats to him.
Yeah, and former look, Raven. When you said that, I'm like, I don't remember that guy.
I don't remember him.
But
either.
It was recent vintage. It wasn't that long ago, right?
No, I'm trying to, let's see.
University of Michigan. Huh. So, and then you remember the name kind of being not of the normal, like a Joe Smith or, Bill Thompson or something like that. It was kind of a unique name. But Bronson Rechsteiner, former Raven, is now the Intercontinental Champ. Was there any covert activity in gaining of the belt? Any salt in the eyes?
For
folding
his
chairs?
No, his was clean.
Okay.
One of the few clean matches on the night.
What's his nickname, Norm?
His wrestling name is Bron Breakker.
Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
Now he's a world, we're intercontinental champion, excuse me.
Yeah. A workman's title. Right. And he's a good wrestler.
Wouldn't intercontinental still mean like kind of a world in? You know what I mean? Am I overthinking this?
A little bit,
yeah. I remember like Don Morocco was always the intercontinental champion, the magnificent one. And who else? The Ultimate Warrior. Mm-hmm. I think used to have a stranglehold on the old intercontinental belt. I watched wrestling in forever.
No.
Since the turn of the century. And we're, 2024? I used to watch it all the time, and I used to get pay-per-views of SummerSlams and all that stuff, but It's been a few presidents ago, let's just put it that way.
Well, what's great now, when I watched as a kid, it was still pay-per-view. But now, if you have a Peacock subscription, you can watch all the pay-per-views for free.
Even WrestleMania?
Yep, all of them.
Oh, wow. Well, go ahead, Rex, or Bron, what's his name again?
Bron Breakker.
Bron Breakker. Flash that belt, man. You earn it. When we come back, going to have some news from the Nest coming your way. Going to hear from John Harbaugh, met with the media on Saturday after the latest Ravens practice. Going to hear from Travis Jones as well. A lot of people excited about his potential going into year three. And count me among those people excited. Let's count that money, hopefully at 12:15 with buy or sell. And then we'll preview the upcoming season in the AFC a little bit with Eric Edholm from NFL.com. Ravens, are they going to have their hands full in the AFC North defending that championship against Cincinnati, Cleveland, and the Pittsburgh Steelers? Probably, I would think.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.